Hey, having a great time tonight. And again, I will be hosting tomorrow night. We'll be talking with guest Mark Anthony in hour one. And then in hours two, three, and four, it is a true crime extravaganza. We'll be talking with Claudia Rowe, her book, The Spider and the Fly, a reporter, a serial killer, and the meaning of murder. You need to hear this show to believe it. So make sure you tune in tomorrow when I return to the best in overnight talk radio. I'll be your host here on Coast to Coast AM. Listen, we've got calls coming in. We've also got emails, and I promised I'd work a few of them in as we go along. Here's one. Dave, great show as always. I know all too well the feeling of your first caller and what they were talking about. No matter where I'm sleeping, whether it be in my home with my wife, the couch, or my parents every once in a while, maybe a few times a year, I get the feeling of being held down by some invisible force, which also cuts off my ability to speak or move for a little while and causes overwhelming fear, feeling like an evil spirit. And after a few moments, but what feels like forever, I'm finally freed. I don't know what the heck it is. I was hoping you had insight into this phenomena. Please help. And that comes from Josh. Josh, this is what I'm going to tell you. Please take note. And this is for all listeners. I want this show to be about education, enlightening, and entertainment, of course, as always. And a good scare is always fun. The idea of sleep paralysis is a very real idea. Is it paranormal? I don't think so. I really don't. Does it mean that there are not some moments where there is paranormal phenomena that happens to tie in with it? Certainly there is that probability. However, this is what I can tell you. Science has proven that while we sleep, our brain kicks out a chemical to our body to keep it from reacting, because the brain cannot tell the difference between a real experience and a vividly imaginative experience, meaning that it can't tell the difference between a dream and reality. So it's what keeps you in the dream state when you're fighting Rocky Balboa from punching the person next to you. It is the thing that keeps you from running when you're seeing things. Now, this doesn't always work, and those are who you will find are somnambulists and people that walk in their sleep. I personally am a talker in my sleep. I know it's hard to believe. I know it's hard to believe after listening to me on Darkness Radio and on Coast to Coast that I'd be talking even in my sleep, but it happens. I want you to get checked, and I want you to get tested. Go in for a sleep study, because I think that you're dealing with a really horrible form of apnea, which can be fatal. You need to get it checked. Again, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not here to diagnose, but I just think it's definitely worth investigating, especially if it's happening to multiple places. And here's what I can tell you about sleep paralysis. Most cases involve people that are back sleepers, meaning you sleep on your back, or you sleep kind of tilted over to the side, but you're still mostly on your back. Most people that sleep on their stomachs do not deal with sleep paralysis. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen from time to time, but it's very, very slim. But as I was saying, as you sleep, the brain is kicking out this chemical to keep your body sedated so that it's not running, punching, kicking, doing anything active in its sleep while you're in the dream state, okay? Sometimes something wakes you up quickly and your awareness comes back. What is that noise that's going on in here? It sounds like somebody keeps creaking a door. I don't know if my engineer can hear that. Did you just hear that? Do you hear that? It's a very weird noise in here right now. That was bizarre. It was like an electronic zzz, sounded like a door swinging open and then closing. I guess the paranormal's trying to get to me in the studio. Anyway, talking with this, sleep paralysis. When you're sleeping on your stomach and it doesn't occur and it's a back sleep, you're probably dealing with a neurological issue. What'll happen is when you wake up too quickly, your consciousness regains, but the brain has not stopped pumping that chemical into the body quite yet. And you, as you pointed out, it'll feel like forever because you're in a state. Now, when you sleep, you're automatically breathing more shallow. Your heart rate is slowed way down because that's what we do while we sleep. You really can't hear that? I'm wondering if our listeners can hear that. There's this weird going on in studio. Anyway, I digress. But what happens is you wake up too quickly, you're kind of fleshed out of this, the chemical is still being pumped in, so it takes anywhere from 15 to 30 seconds sometimes for your body to regain the consciousness that your mind has. And it's keeping you in this stasis, which feels terrifying and gives you this feeling that you're being held against your will or unable to take a deep breath, like the air is being pushed out of you. What's going on is all physical attributes of sleep, and it's just you're being awoken too quickly. So don't panic too much about it being demonic or paranormal. Don't fear that it's always something dark and sinister coming to seek you. Like I said, that doesn't mean, and I know I'll get listeners in who will call me and tell me about the other paranormal experiences they're having, but I'm just giving you the insights that in most cases it has nothing to do with the paranormal. How do I know this? Because if you change your sleep pattern and if you take some medical medicines, I'm sorry, I'm distracted. There's really weird noises taking place in the studio I'm sitting in right now, and it's very distracting. But you can medicate to stop this. So if it was the paranormal, it shouldn't be alleviated by medication. It would still affect you. So that's something to take into consideration. So please, if you or any of the other listeners out there are having this on a regular basis, please speak to your doctor and talk to them about getting a sleep study done. In most cases, it is covered by insurance. So please get that checked out. It's very important and could save your life. Let's take a quick break. I'll try to figure out what the hell's going on in my studio. And we'll start back with your phone calls and more emails when we return to Coast AM. And we're back. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader. We're taking your phone calls. It's open lines. I've been asking, what are your thoughts on the paranormal? What do you think is going on? Certainly, I don't have any clue what the hell's going on. We just had engineers in my studio here. The speakers that were sitting in front of me silent throughout the entire show began buzzing and hissing back at me. Very strange. They said this is not normal. So that's the paranormal for you, right? Just weird stuff going on. Let's get back to your calls. Wild card, line five from St. Joseph, Missouri. Let's talk to Rob. Hi, Rob. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
This is a story that I have a science background that I do not understand. I'm just excited to share it with an expert and somebody that could maybe explain it or if it's been documented. Anyway, the quick background, this happened to my grandfather back in the early 50s, and he was a big man. You did not question his veracity back in those days. Those were fighting words. And he told this story truthfully, not as a campfire story. Anyway, he was coon hunting at night alone with just he and his dog on his property, and then you followed the dog wherever it went to adjacent properties that he knew all of those. Anyway, he got separated from the dog. It started pouring rain. He came across an underground spring that he knew was familiar with where that was. Walked for another 15 minutes or so, and he came to a clearing with a cabin in it on it. And at the edge of that property, there was an oak tree with an unusual trunk configuration. It was recognizable, and a swing on it. It was pouring rain. He went up to the house, knocked. No one answered, so he let himself in. When he came in, he smelled wood smoke and food, cooked food. And as he looked around, he was struck that the place was filled with antiques, Victorian era antiques, and they all appeared to be new. There was a plate of food with crumbs on it, like somebody had just eaten, and a portrait of an African-American woman over the fireplace with a pearl necklace. He went upstairs to the second level, and up there he found a bed that was neatly made, and among other things, a harpsichord, and the harpsichord appeared to be brand new as well. He stayed there for a little while and it stopped raining. And as he was walking out the door, the harpsichord upstairs began to play. And he would not admit that he was afraid, but he did not investigate to why it started playing. So he walked outside and went out of the clearing, and then his dog, which was a 90-pound coon dog, hound, blue tick that are wild and tougher than shoe leather, came in with his tail between his legs and stuck to him and would not hunt. So he went on home, and then a couple of days later, in the daylight, he walked back, hiked into, found that underground spring, walked the path that he thought that that he took, and he came to that recognizable oak tree, which now was a stately old oak, full-grown oak, and there was no clearing and no cabin. And not even that, there was no remnants of it. No, because you'd find occasionally rock foundations and stuff on the properties, but that wasn't even there. And I know that he was telling the truth and that he wasn't impaired in any way, but I have no idea what happened. I think my only explanation that I can say I have a science background is that it was some kind of time warp or something that he stepped into.
A time bubble or time slip is the way that it's referred to often. And it's very prevalent. You'd be surprised how many people have these type of experiences where they will be driving along, they pull over to ask for directions, they go into this bar, people look out of date, out of dress, you know, and they'll get directions to where they're going. They get back in the car later that night. They'll be driving past and they notice the building is all worn out looking, shuttered up, and, you know, looks like it's been deserted for 20 years. They end up talking to their friend the next day, and sure as hell that place has been closed for 20 years. And they're like, no, I was in there that night. That's impossible. So that kind of story does happen, but look up time slip phenomena and you'll find quite a few stories like that.
I did something very similar. I was at a Walmart, and it was so innocuous. It was just it was ordinary. And I was standing there, and a woman walked in, and she pulled her hoodie off and kept walking. And then 30 seconds later, the same woman came in and pulled her hoodie off. And I think that's the same type of thing, that there was some kind of time slip or time travel or rip in time, which is fascinating to me.
Very well could be. And that's what I've begun to believe in the 12 years that I've been doing our radio show and 4 years working on Coast to Coast, is that I believe that a lot of what we're dealing with is time slip. That it's, you know, when you go to places like Waverly Hills Sanitarium or Rolling Hills Asylum in New York, and you hear these accounts of not only seeing ghosts, but sometimes they look as surprised by you as you are of them. They turn tail and start running. And you think, why would the ghost be afraid of me? You're a ghost. Don't you know the rules? You're supposed to be able to change shapes and freak me out. But when you start looking back and you realize that the history of Waverly Hills and Rolling Hills is that it's always been haunted. And they just put it off on the amount of people that died through those hospitals as the time went by, so it must have been ghosts from that era. Maybe the strange things that they were witnessing was us. And it's those moments. I've talked about the classic story that I was told a few years, probably about 5-6 years ago. They couldn't figure out what had happened. Grandpa and Grandma built this house on a piece of land. Nobody had ever lived there. It wasn't ancient Indian burial grounds. It was an old cornfield. They built this house. Nothing ever happened. Then one day, Grandma's sitting in the living room watching Jeopardy. In walk these three shadowy figures that walk in front of her in the TV, stop, stare at her, turn around, and the three of them run out of the room. Now, as we know it, her house is haunted because Grandma saw these three shadowy figures in her room standing there. So this haunting story begins, and people just accept it because why would Grandma lie? Fascinating aspect. She passes away. A few years later, the guy and his two buddies walk into the living room, and lo and behold, there is the spirit of his grandmother sitting in the chair. They look, they freak out after seeing a ghost, and they turn tail and run the hell out of the room. So who was haunting who in that moment? Right? I mean, it's a fascinating aspect and a great story. I recommend a lot of people that like to read. There's a book called Nevermore, and it's by like William Hjortsberg or something. I can never remember the correct pronunciation, but if you look it up, Nevermore, it's a great story taking Sir Arthur Conan Doyle and Houdini and taking their real life friendship and fictionalizing a story and a murder mystery that they have to figure out, where they are investigating murders being done in the vein of Edgar Allan Poe stories. And Edgar Allan Poe's ghost keeps appearing to Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and there's a really weird twist to the story. So you've got to pick it up and check it out, but it's a great book, but it is exactly that. It's the time slip phenomena. And I do think that there's a lot more of that going on than we give credit for when it comes to trying to ascertain what's taking place. Thank you for calling in and listening to the show. East of the Rockies, Audrey, Montreal, Missouri, thank you for your patience. What did you want to talk about?
Well, I don't really even know where to start. I've kind of had what I call premonitions all my life, and sometimes I wish I didn't have them. But another thing was I lost a grandson. He was killed. He was just 13 months old. And my husband and I both had experience two nights apart with the chime on the cradle in our room where the baby had slept playing and woke us up. And we talked about it together, and then we talked about if either one of us passed, we would try to come back and let the other person know that we were still around. And my husband passed about 6.5 years ago. And since that point, almost immediately, I started having things that told me he was still with me. But he also follows me around. And I went to visit friends in another state. Three nights in a row, he turned the light out in the night light in the bathroom out. And I thought maybe the lady who owned the home had been doing it, and she said no. And I said, well, you do know that you have a ghost in the house? And she said, yes, I know, but he'll leave when you do. Hello?
Yeah, that's fascinating. So she picked up on the idea that there was a ghost there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
But she knew it was attached to you and not necessarily a ghost that belonged there.
Right, yes. And he's been other places with me. And last time I was back at her house, her husband asked me to make him some apple butter, which I said I would gladly do.
Okay.
And I was, and I had put it in the crock pot to cook down overnight. During the night I got up to stir it, the crock pot was off. But it wasn't just off. The plug had been pulled. And I didn't plug it back up, but I asked both of them the next morning if they had unplugged it, and they said no, and we all stood there looking at each other, and Mary said, well, who do you suppose unplugged it? And I just smiled, and I said, you know, and she said, yeah, I do.
It's a nice comfort, isn't it, knowing that we're never really alone and that they're always there with us?
Oh, yeah. I'm not concerned at all. And my grandson that was killed, I've had other experiences with him also. So
well,
it's
Audrey,
kind of nice.
Yeah, it is. It's nice to know that they're still with you and we'll be there to greet you when it's your time. Thank you for listening and calling in. I know we've got other callers lined up. Mike in Loveland, I promise you've been patient. We'll get to you next. We've got more calls, more emails, and more fun here. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Actually, from the quaint corner of St. Cloud, I'm on KNSI, my new home when I host Coast to Coast AM. I'm Dave Schrader, filling in for George Norrie. I'll be back again with you tomorrow night. And we're taking your calls this evening, your emails, and more. You know, I mentioned in the last segment, we were talking about the beginning of the last segment, the sleep paralysis. And I did get some validation afterwards. Josh wrote back, said, thank you so much for your input. I originally thought it may simply be neurological, except for the feeling of another entity or being other than mine and my wife's. Now, that may just also be a thought. Was just wondering. I used to dabble with a cult as a teen. Little note, I also sleep talk and sleep fight, so I might want to go get checked for neurological issues. Thanks a lot, Dave. Listen, part of the other deal is this sense of something else there. That's why a lot of times people have the alien abduction scenario feeling when they do these sleep paralysis moments as well. So that's all kind of par for the neurological course. I hope that works out for you. And yeah, please do get checked out and email me back. Let me know that you're okay. Let's go west of the Rockies. Mike in Loveland, Colorado. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm good. I'm a long-time listener, about 10 to 12 years now, and I'm a first-time caller. I'm glad I actually got through tonight.
Well, I'm glad you did, too, and thank you for being a first-time caller on my show. What's going on?
Well, you know, you wanted some paranormal experience.
Yes.
I grew up in a small railroad town called Enola, Pennsylvania. Have you ever been there?
No, I have not.
Okay, it's right around the capital city of Harrisburg. When I was 9 years old, my great-grandmother actually died in our house. And my parents decided the weekend of her funeral, that would be the best time to move their youngest into the room she died in. So my older sister had a little fun with that. She would come and bang on my outside window just to scare the crap out of me, you know. Your older sisters will do that kind of stuff. But I remember about 3 days after the funeral, we had one bathroom in our house, and to get to it, you had to walk through the room she died in. Something woke me up in the middle of the night, and I'm sitting there in bed, and I'm kind of rubbing my eyes when I see my grandma walk down the hall to come toward my room to go to the bathroom. And I, you know, I'm in fourth grade, and I looked at her, and I go, "Grandma, why are you here? You're supposed to be dead. You're supposed to be in heaven." And it was almost as soon as I said that, poof, she vanished.
All right. What do you think that was? Do you think she realized that
know.
You could see her and she popped out? Do you think that?
I don't know. I'm 38 years old now, and I've spoken to my wife about it, and she's pretty open to the paranormal. We actually have quite a bit of activity going on in the house we live in right now. So I don't know if it's something that's just always followed me. I remember another vague paranormal thing back in 2001. I was temporarily living in my parents' house, sleeping in their basement, and I woke up and it felt like something was choking me, like had their hands around my throat, and I couldn't breathe. And my mom could hear me, so she comes running downstairs, and you could actually see handprints around my neck.
Wow.
And they weren't mine, because I had
right.
pretty big hands. These were kind of smaller hands, and the only people that were in the house were my mom, my dad, and I. So now to bring you to present, I have four children, and none of them like to sleep in their bedrooms. There's a lot of activity around their closets. My 13-year-old said she can actually hear someone breathing in the closet, and she says it's usually around 3:30 in the morning she's woken up with it.
Something breathing in the closet.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated. Yeah, for a three-year-old to be able to say that, but I'm so fascinated with why closets. I mean, the movie Monsters Incorporated is fun, that's their portal doors, but why closets? Why is that the way to enter the room? I mean, why not from the toy box? Why not just, you know, being there? Why do they need to come through the threshold of the closet?
Right.
You know, I've also noticed a really strange effect. A lot of paranormal stories I get from people that were kids, they had bunk beds in their room.
Uh-huh.
And I've started to kind of associate bunk beds with a lot of paranormal activity as well. So I don't know what it takes, why that happens. But, yeah, the closets are really creepy. I've got a haunted closet at my house.
Right.
We've seen things.
When our 7-year-old, he had just switched over to his big boy bed from his crib. And, you know, back when he was about 1.5, 2 years old, he would like me to get down and lay beside him in bed. And we were living out in the middle of nowhere in farm country. And I had my back to this, to the door to his room, and I'm on my knees, and I'm about to give him a kiss goodnight, and he goes, "Daddy, he's here." And as soon as he said that, I got goosebumps everywhere.
And I why? I can't imagine why.
I looked at him, I said, "Who's there, son?" And he goes, "You don't see him standing in the door?" And I turn around and look, and I'm like,
No. Wait a second. You turn around and look. You sound so matter-of-fact about it. Be honest. How long did it take you before you took a breath, steeled yourself, and turned around to look at that door?
Probably a good minute to 2 minutes.
And that whole time, was every hackle up on your body?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, and I can only imagine. The activity in that house got worse. My wife used to take care of the elderly lady that lived next door to us. She also owned the house we lived in. And she died in December of 2012. And after that, we had so many things happen in that house. My wife said she could hear people calling out her name in the middle of the night, like me. And I worked overnights at the time. I wasn't home.
Yeah, that's the paranormal fascinates me, man. And every time you kind of hear these stories, it just excites me that this is going on and that there's stuff happening. You know, it's cool. What does that mean? What's out there? Why don't all of us have these experiences?
Well, and I wanted to ask you real quick, because sure. I know you have a lot of calls to get to, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me tonight. I remember watching Ghost Adventures. I can't remember how many years ago it was, but you were on it, mm-hmm. and you were at the Galka House.
No, I was never at the Galka House episode.
I may have heard heard Zach talk about your name being brought up in that.
Could have been, sure.
Sorry about that. I work overnight, so it's a little.
No, I'm with you.
Time for me.
I've done like the Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota, right up the road from here in St. Cloud. I've been to the Demon House out in Seattle. I've been to a couple of those locations, but I didn't do the Galka episode. What about it? Did you have a question?
If you ever get a chance and you're in the Fort Collins, Colorado area, there is a cemetery off the beaten path called the Bingham Hill Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of activity in there from people I've talked to that are bold enough to go in there overnight.
Really? Can you email me and sure send me that information? I'd love to look into that next time. I'm going to be in Colorado later on this year. I come hang out with Bill Chappell once or twice a year.
Right.
And love to see some of that those places. So please email me, dave@darknessradio.com, and we will we'll definitely investigate it. And who knows, I still work as a location scout for Ghost Adventures. Maybe I'll send them to check out the
areas in Fort Collins. I could actually send you a complete list.
Oh, great. Please do. Always looking for cool locations. Thank you very much. And that goes for all the listeners. If you know of really intriguing locations that have a very haunted history, we'd love to hear from you and perhaps even, send Ghost Adventures guys out there. So send me emails, dave@darknessradio.com. I got a quick email here I wanted to answer. This touched my heart. My husband passed away in October suddenly. I've seen and talked to him 3 times right after he passed, but now I can't contact him. Is there a reason why he won't come to me? I've seen and talked to spirits all my life, but this has never happened to me. I have traveled to a place which I called Purgatory and spoke to my mother and even my mother and father-in-law, but I can't get there for my husband. Any answers for me why I can't reach him? If you had a good, strong relationship and you had that tight of a bond, the fact of the matter may be you've done what you needed to do. You had your connection afterwards, and maybe he needs to go through his healing and processing. Maybe he's gone to heaven. Maybe he's on to the next level of this video game of life. I'm not real sure, but you had a great gift. 3 times you got to communicate with him after he passed. So that's something rare and extraordinary. And a lot of people would kill for 1 time to get that connection again. So I wouldn't beat yourself up. And I'd just be comforted with the fact that you know that there's something after this life. And he'll most likely be there waiting for you when it's your time. So please don't stress yourself out about it needlessly. Let's go to Wildcard Line 1. Kurt in St. Louis, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, a couple things. Hey, earlier you were talking about the
time. I was going to talk to you about the Shadow Man. I'm still going to get to that. The time shift and whatnot. I had just come off the road for working for a moving company into my cousin's house in a small town here in Missouri. And sitting there in the living room one day, nobody's home, and all of a sudden I felt something looking at me. Turn around, and there's a whole band of Civil War soldiers marching down behind the trailer, and one of them just looking at me in complete and total shock and disbelief. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and then it just disappeared. And I still ain't figured out if I was there or if they were here. But either way, it happened. But anyway, if you don't mind, there's something kind of more pressing than the Shadow Man. The Shadow Man I can kind of deal with. But we had an experience at our house recently, and I thought about it. But one night, my daughter, we're sitting here, and we hear a like frighteningly panic scream. Both of us jump up. You know, our daughter's 13 years old. And it was me and my stepson were in here playing Wii. We jumped up, ran in there, and I was like, what, you know, what? And I looked around, and she was like, there was a big bright light, and it was in the corner, and she yelled for her mommy the first time, because she yelled three times real quick, and then it got closer and got brighter, and she yelled mommy, and it got closer and brighter, and it got closer and brighter the third time, and so I went in there, and I checked on my wife, and I couldn't wake her up. You know, it took a second to wake her up. When I woke her up, she was like completely disoriented, had no idea what was going on and whatnot. And the best I can come up with is she was either something bad happened and she was coming back in that spirit form there, or it's out of body experience. And that right there concerns me a lot more than the Shadow Man. I'm sorry.
No, I totally get that. Thank you for sharing your stories. That is chilling. We need to take a break. We'll come back, and we've got more. We've got more of your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast AM, the best in overnight talk radio. If you like that, then check out the best in paranormal talk radio with me 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, with Beyond the Darkness. That's my paranormal podcast along with Tim Dennis. You can check us out at podcastone.com. We are Beyond the Darkness. Subscribe now. Never miss a minute of the best in overnight talk radio and the best in paranormal talk radio. George Norrie is going to join me in the next week or two and visit with us, share some of his favorite stories, and we'll talk about some of the projects he has coming up as well. So make sure that you go check that out. Bookmark it and subscribe right now at podcastone.com. That's Beyond the Darkness. We're taking your phone calls and wrapping up the show right here. Let's go to Wild Card Line 4. We've got Jaeger in Bentonville, Arkansas. Welcome to the show, Jaeger.
Howdy, Mr. Schrader.
Hello. What did you want to share with us this evening?
Well, my mother was an unusual one. She was Baptist and White Witch. And growing up, she trained me from the time I was 6 years old how to deal with demons and dark spirits. And it was a crash course. We encountered one, and she walked off and said, well, you'll either make it or you won't. I killed it, but that it was a crash course. But now I use what she taught me to help rid the area of all kinds of dark stuff. But she came to me in a dream not too long ago, and she informed me that when I leave this plane, I'm going to be a reaper. My job will be taking souls to the other side.
Wow, and I thought my job sucked. That's a tough gig, man, being the one to take lives and walk them through. I don't know that that's something I'd be looking forward to. Does that unnerve you if that's true, that you would be that person for so many?
No, it really doesn't, and I can say why. She revealed to me, when one of the Ascended Masters revealed to me some of the things that have happened to me previous times, and wouldn't be the first time I've been a Reaper. And matter of fact, I finally found in this time some of them that have worked with me in the past, and they have the memories of that. We've all been getting our memories back, and it's
really so the Reaper gets to live again and be reincarnated into human form.
And it's amazing when you mess up when you're a celestial or astral level like that, and you do something stupid. And I mean, in my case, it was pretty dumb. You get chucked back down for a round or two as kind of a way.
All right.
Going, you know what?
I got to know what did you do that messed up that got you thrown out of being a Reaper?
It happened, we were all grouped together, and my goofiness is sitting there playing with my one of my tools, and people visualize reapers with the scythe, or but you can also have a chain or various things, and mine was a scythe, and I let a demon get a hold of it by accident, and that caused a mess, a bad mess.
So you're kind of the Jerry. You were kind of the Jerry Lewis of reapers then.
Yeah, I'm kind of the black sheep of the group. I went from 14th level of consciousness to the third.
Wow. Well, at least you made it up to that level at one point. It's, you know, once you've been there, it's easy to get back, right?
Well, it is and it isn't. It is if the creator and, in this case, my boss, who is my mother, gives me the keys to get back, the guidance to get. When you pass, you spirit's got to have the keys to be able to get to where it needs to go. Doesn't have the keys, either through somebody's fate idea of a sick joke or karma. I'm not even going to go that route. You can either end up purgatory, or you can end up stuck in a lower level, or you're stuck floating in that same level you're in, waiting to go back and do something else again. But I was going to tell you that the cemetery that your other caller mentioned in Fort Collins,
mm-hmm.
don't go in that thing unless you are prepared on a spiritual and mental level.
Mm-hmm.
There are dark entities in there from much higher dimensions, much higher levels of consciousness, and they will mess with you.
Sure. Well, I appreciate the insight. Yeah, I'm always very cautious whenever I go investigating anywhere. As a father, I always feel it's important to make sure that I protected myself, because I don't want to bring things back or have my energy influenced by anything, especially that has a dark and malevolent force attached to it.
I need to tell you then how to, and for your audience, how to protect yourself.
All right, real quick. We've got about 20 seconds.
Envision yourself in a bubble of white light, that gift of God, that power of God, and nothing can touch you. And if you need to burn something, visualize it being burned by that light, physically see it in your mind, and consciously intend it, and it will burn it, and it will destroy it, or if nothing else, it'll make it turn tail and run.
All right. Well, thank you for the insights and the help, and I will certainly be cautious when I go trek through cemeteries. See, I'm a big one, and I appreciate you calling. I don't do many cemeteries simply for the fact that I have a hard time believing our souls hang out in a cemetery anyway. I would like to think that once we cross over, we find a better place to hang out than with our rotting corpse. Well, that's it for me tonight. A special thanks to our guys back at home base, Dan Galante and Tom Danheiser. Great job on the music choices tonight, Tom. You can find information if you go to tonight's show on the website and see what songs were played. My producers, Chris Boros, Amy Rouse, and Lisa Lyon, and of course, the master himself. Thank you, George Norrie, for letting me sit in, and to my guest, Daniel Klass. I'll be back again tomorrow night, right here on the best in overnight talk radio. For George Norrie, I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.